Okay, we will now call to order the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for October 13, 2015. At the outset, I have reviewed the September 8, 2015 rental meeting minutes, approved them, and executed them. I've also reviewed the September 8, 2015 regular meeting minutes, approved, and executed them. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's proceedings? Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying, please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided with your witnesses is nothing but the truth?
All right, the first matter on our agenda is a lien review. 1014 Cadillac Drive, owners Sylvester and Marcia Jones. Anyone here for the applicant?
Good morning.
Say your name, sir.
My wife's downstairs. The elevator's not working.
Can you raise your right hand, sir? Tell me, sir, or affirm that the testimony you have provided
is
the truth,
the whole truth,
and nothing
but
the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Jones, give me 1 second. This all originated with a failure to obtain a permit for roof repairs going back to 2005. Compliance entered July 2005.
Mr. Kelly, this is one that we really probably can have a short solution on. Anthony Jackson.
Myers, what's the short solution?
Okay, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. In this case, the city is now working with this property owner with the city's program. One of the necessary aspects of the city program is that the lien would hinder their ability to get the funds necessary to assist the family. The city is asking for the lien to be released, but the position of staff in the city would be that the release would be at the time of closing, so it's a condition of the closing. So they would have to complete the program and actually have a closing, which is anticipated for, is there a time period, within the next 30 days?
Within the 30 days from community development.
So within the next 30 days, they're expecting a closing on assistance for rehabilitation. And so we would like to release the lien condition upon that closing.
Closing on assistance for rehabilitation.
Is that correct?
Does that mean there's a loan?
Yes, sir.
In the works?
Yes, through the city redevelopment program or rehabilitation program.
Okay. Right. And this lien is impeding that closing.
That's correct, sir.
And the city's asking that it be waived.
That's correct.
Subject to this closing, in fact, occurring.
That's correct, sir.
And the closing scheduled to occur sometime within the next 30 days?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I assume you're in agreement with this?
Yes, sir.
All right, then with that, I'll accept the settlement as presented by the city attorney and confirmed by the owner. And I will waive the lien subject to this closing occurring within 30 days. If it doesn't happen as scheduled, then the lien will remain in place.
That's correct.
And I assume if that 30 days needs to be extended, I'll defer to you on that.
Yes, thank you.
Very good. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Lien review number 2, 601 Main Street, Michelle Dodani and Talent LLC, care of attorney James Morris.
I'm Jim Morris. I represent Archie Dodani and his wife. And they are the property owners and the landlords of the property. The lien review this morning relates to some code citations issued to the property while under control of their tenant, and you'll hear from him shortly. Regardless of the resolution that the magistrate makes this morning, I think there will be some following actions coming from the tenant. In regard to my clients, I'm not going to plead with you in regard to the lien. We think that it's an obligation of the tenant to address. I'm not sure what resolution the tenant will reach with your body. I'm simply asking that the jurisdiction of your body be left open so that in the event my clients are back in control of the property, they are able to appear before you again.
Well, as it stands, your tenant's not before the special
magistrate. He is about to come before you from the perspective of we're not going to object to his participation in attempting to persuade you to reduce the lien or do something with the lien. I think there may also be a motion of recusal of you as a magistrate. We are not joining in that motion. That's up to the tenant.
That's not wasting any time. That motion will be made or not.
I understand that, and I don't know whether you will be persuaded or not. So the limit of my appearance this morning is to what I've already spoken to you about in regard to what the tenant does, who's appearing with our permission because it's his lease that's at issue and his obligation to satisfy the lien as far as the lease is concerned. But I'm not sure how his end of it will play out, so we're simply asking that jurisdiction of your body be left open for us to appear before you again if that becomes necessary.
Okay, not to throw minutes at you, but I'm reading there will be a proposed settlement agreement for Mr. Vitale's review. So I take it we haven't come to any resolution?
No, sir. There, apparently his counsel resigned or was fired. There's no additional contact by them with Mr. DeRosa's counsel. There's no additional contact by them with me or, I understand, with Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson.
That's correct.
Mr. Jackson and I have spoken, and I simply spoke to him to say that we would be here today to appear before you, and I asked him whether or not there had been any resolution to his knowledge, and I think his answer was that there was not.
All right, let me try to be clear on something. This is a lien review request by your client. So what exactly are you asking for now? Would we defer this matter to another day?
No, sir. I'm asking that you hear from Mr. DeRosa in regard to his obligations and what his position is in this, and then make a determination from there whether or not you're going to proceed. We are not unsatisfied with you as a special magistrate. I think Mr. DeRosa has an issue with that.
But as I understand what Mr. DeRosa is getting ready to say, and I'm certainly going to let him speak for himself, part of that is going to be a motion for recusal?
Yes, sir. I think that it will be. I don't advise Mr. DeRosa. He's simply standing next to my client from the perspective of the situation. My client is the landlord. Mr. DeRosa is the tenant. Under the lease, it's a typical commercial lease. It requires a tenant to conform to the law and do everything required to maintain the premises. I think the code enforcement citation would say that that has not occurred, but that's up to Mr. DeRosa and the city to sort that part of it out. But I do understand the statute that my client is the one on the hook in the end, which is why I'm asking for jurisdiction to be maintained for further proceedings at a later date if Mr. DeRosa doesn't successfully resolve this matter with the city.
Your client wants to reserve the right to come in and argue his lien review?
No, sir. That would be the case if Mr. DeRosa is no longer the tenant. From the perspective of the lease, I'm going to pursue actions as it relates to the lease to make sure Mr. DeRosa conforms in toto to the lease, which regards complying with the law, satisfying liens, and doing the things that are necessary to meet his obligations under the lease. If he doesn't do that and he's no longer the tenant, at that point in time, we would want to be able to appear back before your body in regard to whatever lien may be in existence at that time.
So I'm not about to hear from Mr. DeRosa as the landlord's spokesman.
That's correct.
He's not a party to this proceeding. So he's just, what, an interested citizen?
I think he's the real party in interest in that the fine obligation is with him pursuant to the lease. And we are not...
But that's between you and your client, Mr. Rose.
That is correct. But we are not objecting to him appearing before you and making his best effort to persuade you to reduce the lien that has accrued under his tenancy.
All right. Well, procedurally, I'm lost. So let's hear from our city attorney. And the reason, and let me be fair and tell you why I'm lost. This is your client's interview.
Yes, sir.
Your client can bring anyone he wants down here to talk to me, try to persuade me that he should be entitled to some sort of mitigation, Mr. DeRosa included. Okay. But I'm not quite sure about the suggestion that your client reserves jurisdiction to come at another day to make another pitch in the event Mr. DeRosa fails this morning, assuming I'm going to hear from him.
Yes, sir. We're asking you to reserve jurisdiction. I think that's the only difference between what I've asked and what you just restated. From the perspective of Mr. DeRosa as a tenant, so long as Mr. DeRosa is a tenant, he has the obligation to meet the lease, conform to the laws, and do the things necessary to conform to city requirements. We don't even have the ability to step in and do it for him, so long as he is the tenant. I'm not sure what the ultimate resolution will be that Mr. DeRosa reaches with the city, and I think his position, Mr. DeRosa's position, is that he has the right to speak and address that, and I'm not going to object to him doing that. But from the perspective of his representation, he's representing his interests as a tenant, and as the person under the lease, it's obligated to conform to the lease and pay expenses, including lien fines, that are associated with his tenancy of the property.
Now, let me ask one more question about Mr. DeRosa before I go to Mr. Jackson.
I may not know the answer, but I'll attempt to answer.
You may not know, but you're an attorney, so you probably have a pretty good guess. I'll ask this of Mr. DeRosa as well. He was previously represented by counsel.
Yes, sir.
Is he no longer represented by counsel for the purpose of these proceedings?
He'll have to answer that question. I don't know the answer. I have never represented him or pretended to represent him. In fact, just the opposite. I told him that I could not because of conflict.
I'm just wondering what happened to our attorney before we move on to what appears to be Mr. DeRosa appearing pro se since he was previously here with counsel.
Yes, sir. I don't know the answer. I wrote to them. I was out of town for about 2 weeks. I wrote to his attorneys, contacted them both before and after. Before my departure and after my return, I spoke to Mr. Jackson after my return, but his attorneys, as I understand it, are no longer involved.
All right, Mr. Jackson, procedurally, where are we here? This is a little bit
different.
I don't think I've had a situation before where the...
Well, Mr. Kelsey, let's go back to where we, as you said, picking up from the last meeting. As you recall, the last meeting we had, as you indicated, counsel that was here seeking to intervene on behalf of Mr. DeRosa. At that time, you were asking if they had...
I was specifically seeking for Mr. DeRosa to intervene.
Right.
Not just counsel.
Right, right. Thinking for Mr. DeRosa.
And where did we leave that? Did we allow Mr. DeRosa to intervene?
No, that was still left unsettled at that time. My position was not well thought through at that time, and I didn't really speak clear to it. My position on that is that there is no mechanism for third-party intervention. This is a... The nature of this proceeding is it's a lien review. It's a discretionary review of the city. It's not a review of right. It's granted to a property owner or the one that the, and in this situation, property owner applied for a review, that being Mr. Dodani, or actually Mr. Morris on behalf of Mr. Dodani. And that's the aspect of a review and the purpose of review. Anyone they want to be heard, as I expressed before, I never really have a problem with people being heard that may have relevant information, but as far as an intervening party, we have no mechanism for that, and I don't, and I would object and don't agree to expressing someone as an additional party to the lien review other than the owner, who is the one that's under the sanction.
Another topic's been raised, and that is the suggestion that I should recuse myself because I'm involved on behalf of client C, Mr. DeRosa. And, of course, attorneys are supposed to, judges, please, are supposed to liberally grant such motions. However, in this situation, Mr. DeRosa is not a party.
Yep.
And the people that are the parties aren't asking the special magistrate to recuse himself.
That would be my position as well.
So my question to you is, what are your thoughts on that?
My position would be that Mr. DeRosa is not a party. Unless you have something compelling in your heart that tells you you could not be fair, I don't have any basis for this being looked at as a request for recusal by a party, so I don't see any basis for a need for you to recuse. We have no objection to your presence. Your presence as magistrate was without any knowledge that Mr. DeRosa was a part of this when you made your initial rulings. And even at this point, he's not really a part other than in the manner which Mr. Morris has explained as a tenant.
Well, even more so, as I recall, the respondent didn't appear.
That's correct.
At any of the hearings, at least through the imposition of the fine, or prior to the meeting. Is that your recollection?
That's my recollection as well, sir.
Okay. Let me just explore this topic a little bit further. You're the city's attorney. I guess we need to hear the request for the recusal first before we can determine whether there's any basis for it.
Mr. Magistrate, before you proceed, as I understand Mr. Jackson's determination, intervention isn't permitted by Mr. DeRosa. If that is the case, then what I would respectfully request is that this case be delayed until your next lien review hearing. I'll take the matter into my hand and attempt to work through with Mr. DeRosa a solution the city will accept, and will appear before you then to address the lien relief request. So my request at this point, given Mr. Jackson's ruling, would be to delay the proceeding today until the next available hearing, which I presume is 2 to 4 weeks away.
Well, in fairness to you, let me tell you my inclination. My inclination right now is that unless Mr. Jackson tells me that there's a standard as a special magistrate that would compel me to recuse myself, notwithstanding the request being made by a non-party, then I would certainly take that into consideration. And also, let me clarify for you that Mr. DeRosa will certainly be heard from,
yes,
whether he's allowed to intervene,
right,
whether he's coming before us as a tenant who might ultimately be responsible for whatever the outcome is, or whether he's just a citizen of Daytona Beach.
Right.
He'll absolutely be heard. So
understand
that having been said, and meaning no disrespect to Mr. DeRosa, but you're the party in interest,
yes, sir,
what do you want to do?
I am not requesting your recusal. I request that you stay on as a special magistrate. I'm asking that you grant us a delay in this review until your next available hearing, which I assume is 2 to 4 weeks out, whatever the normal calendar is. I would ask that be done, given Mr. Jackson's ruling.
Mr. Kelger, I think some of the things that Mr. Morris raises are things that we hadn't talked about before, but on the general request for his extension, it's his lien review. We've generally been pretty liberal on the way that we allow the continuation, or this was one that we've initiated that's a little bit less, this is a little bit more unusual since the lien review is initiated and we've actually stood before you. But generally, if we had started this, if he had asked for this prior to us getting started, it would be within his hands. It's his request. I don't have an objection to it. I don't see anything that would prejudice the city or harm the effort for solution if it was he's making that request, and if you feel that will and desire to grant that, I don't.
Well, the question I was going to put to you, but you've already covered it, was what prejudice would the city suffer if I entertained Mr. Morris's request for a continuance? And I think what you're telling me is, aside from the fact that you're ready to go, there's probably no prejudice per se.
That's correct. For the lien review. Could I speak to one other issue that I think we kind of forgot or missed?
Speak to it. Mr. Morris is going to be given an opportunity to respond, so let me just advise you.
Yeah, nothing harmful. It's related. Yeah, it's related to your question regarding the council. I wanted to make sure we put that to rest. We did receive an email from Ms. Truelove, who was the listed counsel for Mr. DeRosa, and that email indicated to the city that she was no longer retained by Mr. DeRosa. Right. So we're getting clarification from my paralegal.
It sounds like Mr. DeRosa is going to be talking today anyway, so we'll let him figure out what he's going to do with counsel between now and Monday. That'll be for him to decide. All right, then I will request the counsel for the in-review applicant continue this matter to the November 10, 2015 meeting. Let me forewarn everybody, I'm probably not inclined to continue it again after that unless there's some pretty compelling circumstances.
I wouldn't ask you to.
And I understand the city is looking for some resolution here, one way or another. And so my point is, I'm certainly amenable to any further requests, but I'm just saying we're nearing the end, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Right. We're ready for the bet. Thank
Very
you.
Good. And then we'll see you all on November 10, 2015.
Do I get an opportunity to speak to the
court? Pardon?
Can I have an opportunity to speak to the court?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
My name is Lou DeRosa.
May I just
mail it? Do you know where or from that testimony you have provided? Do you know if you've been up to
it? Yes. And I believe I retained your services to record this. Miss Ellen, you're Leslie Stillwell? Okay. I believe there was a motion to intervene as a concerned party. That motion hasn't been decided yet. To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Jackson hasn't answered it, and if he did, I don't have an answer to it. I am an interested party. I have property rights under Florida statute that require I'm served with a copy of the notice of the violation. Had I been served with a notice of the violation, I would have acted on it accordingly. There was hearings held without me being present, with my understanding, Mr. Garcia, discouraged Mr. Dodani to go to the February hearing, excuse me, the March 10th hearing, where you made your decision based on the outstanding violations. Had I had known about the outstanding violations, I would have acted on them immediately. There were code enforcement violations that were issued where I was served. I acted on them immediately and remedied them. There was a current code violation issued regarding the structure of the building. I acted on it immediately, did the repairs, had it inspected this morning. I'm not the type of person to not acknowledge the authority of a city, code enforcement, a magistrate, or anybody with authority. If I have a responsibility, I act on it. Now, I'm only asking you, with all due respect as a magistrate, that you respectfully recuse yourself from this situation because you are an adversary in another case against me. I find it hard for you to look at me impartially because you are an adversary party. And because you're an adversary party, I believe under the County Laws 1, 2, and 3 and Judicial Ethics Code Committee that you are required to recuse yourself. I implore that you do recuse yourself because I need to have my rights protected because by the decisions that have been made by this court and the actions that have been taken by code enforcement, I have been completely denied any and all due process rights that I'm guaranteed by state and federal constitutional amendments. I feel that because my rights are violated, I never really had an opportunity to address the court. I never really had an opportunity to know the knowledge that the court was taking regarding outstanding violations. I did not know about re-inspections that were done in February or whenever Mr. Garcia went out to do it. He never came to me and told me what he was doing. And again, according to Florida statute and Daytona Beach codes, I'm required to have notice of what's going on. I'm a person that's responsible for the violation, and as a person responsible for the violation, I'm required to have knowledge and notice of the court having a proceeding against me. I have property rights. I rented the building from Mr. Dodani to be able to participate in outside events. Because of the violation, I've been denied an opportunity to participate in outside events. My master plan was approved at the initial stage when it was first submitted, and then shortly thereafter, this court turned around and said that we could not go forward and participate in the outside events. I believe that's a due process violation. I believe I have damages, and this is the second time that the city has denied me an opportunity to participate in Biketoberfest. The first time was in last year, and I was denied because an application was put in late. I believe I was discriminated against. Indian Motorcycle was allowed to go forward with a late application, and their application was approved. I've had Mr. Garcia come to my place of business, tell me to take down signs during bike week. They were videotaped. Mr. Garcia took the phone out of the individual's hand and threw it on the ground.
Hang on, let me stop you there. Because since you have suggested that I should recuse myself, in all fairness to you, I should not let you go on continuing to make arguments because it would be inappropriate. So, let me say this for the record, and we'll just hit it head on. I represent former business partners of Mr. DeRosa in civil litigation and in the circuit court here in Volusia County. I also represent those businessmen in slander suits. That's the nature of my dealings with Mr. DeRosa. He's asked, the tenant, a non-party, has asked me to recuse myself. In all fairness to the city, if you want me to recuse myself, say so. It won't break my heart. It'll go to the code enforcement board. It won't offend me one way or the other. If, on the other hand, the city would prefer that I stay on, then I'll give you an opportunity to respond to his motion to recuse. Tell me what you want to do. He's already said everything I need to hear. Have you said everything you had to say with regard to the motion to recuse?
Well, I would like to add one more fact, is that you deposed me. And you know that I own Bad Boy Saloon. You know that I'm a tenant of Archie Dodani's. And as a magistrate and an attorney, I would expect that you realize that I have a right and the city has a responsibility to serve me with a notice properly by law, either through certified mail, hand delivery, or some type of notice, to tell me that there's a code violation, and then tell me that there's a reinspection, and I should be aware of the reinspection so I would have an opportunity to come into compliance. But if I am not told about something, I have no knowledge of it, how do you expect me to correct it?
Okay, first of all, I'm not acknowledging any of the statements you just made as being true. Secondly, my experience with folks down on Main Street is that owners and tenants come and go as the world turns. More importantly, if you've already said everything you have with regard to the motion to recuse, then I'll give counsel here an opportunity to respond. Since this is all new to him, or maybe new to him, I'll give him time to do it. Or if you would just be more comfortable with me recusing myself, then I'll do that. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know the answer to this question because I don't know why I would be compelled to recuse myself when a non-party asked me to do so. He may be a material witness, okay, but at the end of the day, well, anyway, he may be a material witness to mitigating circumstances, assuming the owner vouches for him or wants him to speak on his behalf, or I guess if he just wants to speak in general. In any event, the man suggested I should recuse myself. I don't want to bog this down unnecessarily. Do you want time to respond to that?
No, I can respond right now, Mr. Vukelge. I don't need any additional time. The city has no objection to you remaining. The city does not agree with a necessity for you to recuse yourself regarding a non-party. If we went down that line, you as a magistrate working in this jurisdiction would be someone would always be able to raise that you may have been involved representing a client somewhere else. That is not, that would be a continual conflict. If we thought it was a conflict, we never have. We do not see it as a conflict. And in this, what was been described is nothing that would describe or represent a concern of impartiality or unfairness under the circumstances of which this case has been brought. We see no basis or no justification for your recusal. As I said before, if you felt compelled to your heart and elected to. That's your choice, but the city sees no need, basis, and the request is, itself lacks any standing for it to even be considered.
Okay, today I would like to serve the motion on the court.
Yes, sir. We have no objection to your continuing, sir. We're certain that you'll be objective. I think that the hearing we'd have here is a much more manageable proceeding than we would have before the Code Enforcement Board, and we do not join in Mr. DeRosa's request. I explained why we let him speak or would are willing to have him speak, but we do not join in the motion for recusal.
I would like, if it pleases the court, could I please serve a motion on the court, because I believe there's a good argument here that the court may read and rely upon. There's case law that controls a situation like this regarding recusal. And I am not an attorney. I'm a pro se litigant right now.
Okay, and I'll consider anything you want to say. You're welcome to follow it.
Okay. There's a copy for the PA. Yeah. Then,
let me tell you what I'm going to do. We've got people out here, so we're not going to spend any more time on this. I will review Mr. DeRosa's motion to disqualify. I'll notify counsel of my decision within 5 days, and then you can circulate that.
Yes, sir.
Fair enough?
Okay, could I ask the court, since you are a person in charge of code enforcement?
Well, I appreciate the promotion, but I think this man might be in charge of code enforcement.
Mr. Garcia? Okay. I need to have some issues addressed regarding an application for parking and being denied a parking permit.
You'll have to take that up with them. You'll have to take that up with them.
Okay.
As soon as we're done.
All right.
All right. Is your address and mailing address 611 Main Street?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else to be said on this matter?
Nothing further.
I'm continuing this matter to our November 10, 2015 meeting. I don't know if the Code Enforcement Board meets. In the event I'm persuaded by Mr. DeRosa's motion to disqualify, I guess you and counsel for the respondent can attend to that. Mr. DeRosa, you're either going to be, presuming you want to return, you'll either be here on November 10th or you'll be in front of the Code Enforcement Board on November 12th.
I'll be here on November 10th.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. And thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to speak with you.
No problem. All right. Case number one, GEA Seaside Investment Incorporated.
Good morning.
Please state your name.
Sure. The Jane West with Jane West Law on behalf of GEA Seaside Investment, Inc. And Mr. Vukulja, you had requested at the last hearing on September 8th a little bit more information on the issues regarding collateral estoppel pertaining to the federal case that had been settled with my client and the city. Hopefully you received last week a 3-page letter basically detailing our position on the relevant case law pertaining to collateral estoppel. We do believe that it applies in this instance. However, on the same day that I filed that letter, and I did provide a courtesy copy to Mr. Jackson, he did call me and he informed me that the city's position on this matter would likely be changing. And so I think it's probably appropriate to hear from Mr. Jackson on the city's change in position on this, both of these issues, issues number one and two on your agenda.
So we're talking, as far as you're concerned, 309 North Peninsula and 433 North Peninsula?
Yeah, it's case number SMG 10-1543 and 10-1545 pertaining to two different pieces of property for the same violation of failure to register the rental property with the program.
Okay, I have not seen this three-page letter before, so
and Mr. Vick,
read it right now. Do you want to tell me this is going to be short-circuited?
This will be short-circuited.
Okay.
I had a conversation with Ms. West on this, indicating a position of the city. It's not that we change positions fully in the sense that I don't, the position of the city is not that we agree with the position of necessity for dismissal due to estoppel. However, the city does look at the request. We heard the desires of Ms. West and her client through the argument last meeting, and the city concluded that it would be reasonable to give them this new, fresh opportunity to comply if that's what they so desire to do. So the position of the city is that we will dismiss case number one and case number two that's been referenced, 10-15-43 and 10-15-45. Our request is for you to grant a dismissal, and we will bring this further if they're unable to comply. But we would, our desire, our interest is in them having the opportunity to comply. We realize that their compliance in the past was partially due to a perspective regarding the law that now has been settled in court. And so as we go forward, our desire and our hope is that we will be able to obtain compliance and move forward in a more productive and positive way.
Okay, are we in agreement these arguments are going to be moot as it pertains to future violations, assuming they should occur?
Yeah, and I think we can address those, but as it pertains to these two agenda items, that's my understanding too, that they're going to be dismissed. They're not necessarily agreeing to the substantive basis. I think we should probably clarify dismissal with or without prejudice and the time frame for compliance.
Well, clearly, when we talk about dismissal, we're talking about this related to the definition of your non, of his the non-compliance, and the non-compliance is now, from our perspective, is a historic event. So we're looking forward and going to the future. So as of today, we have no non-compliance on that property. We will notify them. We will give them an opportunity to comply on remaining ones that are outstanding properties that where we have not previously received orders from this magistrate, and we will go forward from there with the desire and hope that we get compliance. And of course, once compliance is obtained, then discussions of review and all those things would be ripe. I know we've talked about maybe having some additional discussions, but the general discussion for lien review would be a ripe discussion, and that's wide open.
Well, I don't think we need to worry about being too precise here, because I can't imagine any dismissal as it pertains to this particular notice of violation is going to have any prospective effect anyway. I was just, according to my minutes, I'm supposed to be looking at a settlement agreement or a notice of dismissal and then deciding whether this has any merit. But I guess what I'm hearing is that in response to these arguments, the city is just as well inclined to just dismiss these particular cases with the understanding that going forward, the respondent is still subject to the same ordinances and requirements and performance that's expected of anyone else.
That's agreed, and I believe Ms. West would understand that to be the same.
Yes, that is correct.
Very good. All right, then with that, I will dismiss case number one. That's SMG 101543, and I will dismiss the, I guess technically what I'm, well, I'll dismiss case number 101545. Very good. Anything else?
Just for clarification, you're dismissing both agenda items 1 and 2 pertaining to 308 North Peninsula Drive and 433 North Peninsula Drive.
And it pertains to past failure to license residential rental property.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. All right, case number 3, Donald J. Bracey and Carolyn L. Dodd. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Vakelji, this is before you put in position of a fine. The current status, well, the inspector on the case is Jürgen Betz. He has advised that there's been no permit application, no additional parking has been installed. But I'm not quite sure. I got a note here I'm not clear on, so let me just ask him this real quick. The inspector informs that he has had communication with the property owner. The property owner has indicated repeated delays. So the inspector's request is that he come into compliance by next cutoff, that it be amended to the next cutoff. He's requesting a springing fine for November 4th, but I think what I would recommend instead is that we just amend it to the next cutoff, and we can address a fine if he's not in compliance at the next meeting.
Based on the attorney's presentation, noting no respondent in attendance, taking into consideration our inspector's recommendation, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 4, 2015 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Case number 4, Seabreeze on the Halifax LTD. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please, sir?
S. Sean Dewsney.
And for your last name, please?
D-U-S-Z-N-Y.
Raise your right hand. Please solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. This matter is here for a progress report. So who wants to give me a progress report? Would that be you?
Yes.
Sure. What's the progress?
Okay. Starting off from the bottom, working my way up, the RV camper has been removed from the property. I had spoken with the city about, in the reviews, about the soda machine, and they said that would be okay since it was not visible from the road. And is that correct? I've removed the lumber. Running without the RTL license, I have kind of been back and forth just because, I had this. It is presently licensed by the state as a six-unit apartment complex. But the city is telling me that that's, as far as the city is concerned, that's not appropriate or available as far as zoning. So I've been trying to work things out with that. I don't know if you can. I can get you a copy of the rental license if you like. Okay. All right. So,
Are we going to be converting from 6 units down to 4, or are we going to be wrestling with the city over that?
I started this all started off on the assumption that I had 6 units there. This is a circa 19 or let's see, an 1898 building that has been used as a 6 unit and a 4 unit for many years. But permitting wise, they're saying since it's been licensed, most recently as a 4 unit, that it's a 4 unit. So I've been kind of going back and forth. And they're stating that since 2 of the units shared a bathroom, that it couldn't be a, per the statutes, I don't know if it's from the new code that they have or the old code, what's been going on, but I've been wrestling with that for a while, but I've gone in apartment 6, I've gone and removed the kitchen area and cap the lines, which we'll just continue on with that. As far as the tiles from the edge of the roof above the dormer, that's a big job. It's pretty high up there. I don't know how, I haven't been looking to get somebody work with that, but that's an asbestos tile roof. So to find a vendor to do that, it's been very difficult. The gutter, I haven't taken care of that yet. The units, when Mr. Betts walked through, I kind of did a courtesy inspection, because since I had a license for it from the state and they had inspected the unit and approved it as a 6 unit, they were okay with some of the units not being functional. So they didn't have power, they didn't have the smoke detectors put on the thing, but smoke detectors were there. Some of the water was turned off because the units were getting fixed up. So a lot of those, the units were vacant, basically. So I was changing out a faucet on apartment number 5. So let's see. Anyway, I'll just go through what I fixed so far. That's probably the best thing, the best way to do this. He located some water on the bathroom floor. Apparently, we had some stoppage from a septic system from apartment number 1. So that's been resolved. The torn and damaged flooring in apartment unit 2 has been taken care of. The missing bathroom exhaust fan, it has a bathroom exhaust fan, so there was a cover that was missing. The water on the bathroom floor was just that particular situation there. The leakage below the kitchen sink in unit 6, that the kitchen sink's gone now. The broken glass entry door in 6 is been taken care of. And then we have that violation as far as the units increased to 4 to 6. So I've been working that. It's now at the present time, I got 5 units. I'm working to get it down to 4. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Have our inspectors gotten a chance to look at apartment number 1?
They have not yet. It's still occupied. If they'd like to go see it, that's okay.
We still have missing inoperable smoke detectors?
Those missing inoperable smoke detectors were smoke detectors in units that were not occupied, and they were just off the wall there. It's all hard wired.
And you already talked about the units. I was just making notes as I was reviewing this before the meeting.
Yes, sir.
And you already talked about the units requiring a source of heat.
They all have permanent sources of heat. They're installed heat and air units in the windows.
Okay.
And
we currently have a compliance date set for you for December 2, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now, I know this in large part turns on this reduction from 6 units down to 4. That right. obviously impacts the entire complexion of these other
yes, sir.
Violations. Okay, so we are on board with reducing it down to 4?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so now with that having been said, then it's just a matter of time as far as getting everything taken care of.
Right, once I get the units down to 4, I'll apply for the thing.
All right. And how do you think you're looking as far as your December 2 compliance date?
I still have to find a vendor for that to work on the roof. On there's a section, I guess I just saw it now, of above a dormer that needs repair, and get some lady to work on it, and asbestos tile roof is very difficult. So.
All right, let's hear from the city. What say, Mr. Betts?
Mr. Disney has proceeded as requested, and we stand with the December cutoff date for compliance.
Okay. So it sounds like you're satisfied with the effort today?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, that's all I need to know. This is already October, so I guess all I can do is say good luck to you.
Thank you.
And of course, if you start running short as you come near the finish line, keep that man posted as to what's going on. Because if you need additional time, as long as he's satisfied that you've been letting him know what's been happening, he'll be your best friend. Good luck to you. Case number 5, Graceland REI Consulting, LLC.
Hey, Elliot Meadows. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we continue this to today's meeting for a progress report and determination of compliance date. So, the progress we have to report.
We pulled the permit, and the work on the interior structure, which was 5 units, reducing down to 1 unit, is being worked on now. The building's been gutted. And you know, we're repairing joists and frame and whatnot. The rear building hasn't been worked on yet, which was going to go from 3 units down to 2 units. In terms of a progress report on when it'll be finished, it's a very large house, several thousand square feet. So I hope within the next 60 days on the front building. The rear building, probably another 60 days-ish. So I'm hoping by the first of the year we can have it in compliance completely. But we do have a 12-month window on the permit that was pulled through the city. So and we're about a month into that now. So they are, you know, fully complying though with the wishes of the city and code enforcement and zoning.
And the property is not currently occupied?
No, sir. Completely empty.
So it sounds like you're looking for 60 days on the front building and 90 days on the back building.
Yes, sir. If that pleases the court.
Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelter spoke with the inspector. It was Mike Fitzgerald. He's satisfied with the progress, recognizes this as a big job. He doesn't have any problem with the request for the 120 days. We're asking for a compliance date. We're asking for 60 days for a progress report, and just so we're satisfied that we're moving forward in good faith to get this remedy.
Okay. 120 days. All right. That tells me that November 4, December 2, January 6, February 3. So we're going to February 3, 2016?
Inspector agrees. I say yes.
Right.
That's fine.
First off, I'm going to order that we have another progress report at our December 8, 2015 meeting. And you will amend, have we ever entered a compliance date?
Yes, sir.
And you will order the respondent to commit compliance by February 3, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter, and further require that the property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until the property is in compliance. If you finish one, well, then I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we're going to try to finish one, get it into full compliance, get it inspected, and then go back to the back one.
Very good. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Good luck to you. Thanks. Case number 6, Plantation Acres, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Steve Carp. Yes, ma'am.
Position of a fine, what say the city?
The city's position right now, Mr. McCall just said, this insufficient effort to comply. And the city is requesting a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $20,000.
And why would I do such a thing?
I would tender the inspector, David Newell, so he can give you further factual information.
Okay.
Good morning. We are requesting the $500 a day fine because there's been nothing changed since our last meeting. At this time, we haven't had any correspondence relating to this property, and there's been no change in the outcome of not just the structural part, but everything in general as far as the property is concerned. So that was our reason for the $500 a day to the max.
All right, let's hear from the respondent.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All of the electrical has been completed, which is the majority of what's on here. I contacted two people and had bids for the last part of it, which is the sagging deflection of the beams. I was waiting to give them a deposit to a larger company. I had a smaller company and a larger company look at it, and the larger company wanted to have a structural engineer. They wanted me to pay them a fee to have stamped engineering plans by November 1st. And hopefully after that they could complete the job within 30 days of that. So that's my position, and I don't think it's fair to have a fine because I have made contacts with two different companies, and I can have all of it. You know, if you want me to go ahead with the stamped engineering plans, I can get
that
done.
What's left to be done as far as you're concerned?
As far as the majority of this, you know, the 80% of the verbiage here, the electrical, that's all been completed. Okay, Florida Power turned back on the power. It's still, the property's still vacant. No one's living there. As I said, I don't want to be repetitious. I contacted two companies, and I think I'm going to go with the larger company.
The larger company is going to be doing what?
The sagging deflection of beams located in the front porch area.
Okay.
And
is that the only thing we needed the structural engineer for?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
And this company's bringing its structural engineer with it?
As soon as I give them the fee, yes.
So as soon as you end...
Which is not a large amount. And they're going to do stamped engineering plans, they tell me.
Okay. All right.
So I'm thinking if you could move it to the next hearing date, which I believe you said it was November 10th earlier this morning, I should be able to have the signed contract with that larger company out of Jacksonville, stamped engineering plans, and we'll be in a much better position.
And how long does it take to do the work?
They told me an additional 30 days as long as I give them a 50% deposit, which I have no problem with.
So if everything goes according to Hoyle, you're expecting to be, you could be done by December 2, 2015?
Yeah, I've had December 1 down here. Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second. All right, what's the city's response to the property owner's suggestion? Well, let me talk about what work has been done.
Just like the same last meeting, all the electric has been accomplished. However, it has not been inspected by the city at this time. So as far as compliance is concerned with all electrical code standards, I'm not aware, and the electrical inspector has not been out there. As it relates to a lot of these other items, I know they have not been completed. And coming back from our last meeting, he stated that he hadn't started completing those or starting those because he was waiting on the electrician. I can tell you from my visit at the property a few days ago, there's still holes in the wall that need to be patched. There's still a lot of lengthy issues that have that need to be corrected. So as far as what's been done, he had hired an electrician. The electrician had come out and did the electrical work by what I assume is what was permitted, but has not been inspected and approved or finaled, I guess is probably the better word, by the city.
So we need to have the electrical work inspected. You're still finding holes in the walls, and then we still got to deal with. Hang on a second. Still got to deal with the structural engineer in the front porch.
And then all the other stuff dealing with, fire extinguishers and everything like that, or what's stated here. At this moment, so none of that's been done. I believe from the last meeting, your suggestion or what you wanted was those stamped plans and everything by this meeting, I believe, is what your recommendation was at the last meeting. But that's the update from the previous meeting till this meeting as far as compliance is concerned, or the work that has been completed since your last meeting or has not.
Can I ask what it would take to get the electrical inspection done?
The licensed contractor would have to call in for a final. Why that has not been done, I am not sure.
Since the last meeting, that hasn't been done.
That is correct.
Well, the minutes from our last meeting say, Mr. McKelliger continued the case to the October 13, 2015 agenda, and the property is not to be rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied because of the need for a structural engineer, but noted the respondents were in good shape with the electrical.
Correct.
Okay, but you still have to have your inspection.
Correct. And the reason there's holes in the walls.
I don't want to hear about the holes. You're going to fix the holes. All right, so how confident are you you're going to be done by December 2?
Fairly confident, yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to upgrade that to real confidence.
Okay, real confidence.
Okay. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to the... require you to come into compliance by December 2, 2015. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $300 will go into effect and continue each day thereafter, automatically, until the property is in compliance. And in the interim, we continue with the requirement that the property is not rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized. Okay, so I'm kind of holding your feet to the fire here. And the city wants this thing resolved. They
sure.
Just assume hammer you now. I understand that. But that having been said, I would rather you get the building done
sure.
And done right. And most of all, don't forget the inspections. Because if the inspections aren't done, you're not going to get a notice of compliance put in the file. You don't get a notice of compliance put in the file, that fine I just talked about will automatically kick in.
Around 12,
you won't even know it's happening.
Right. Okay.
So... get the electrical work inspected. Get all these things that Mr. Newell's talked about fixed. Get the structural engineer. Get the porch squared away. And again, I don't mean to be redundant, but call for the final inspections.
And your December meeting is 12-2 or 3?
Your compliance date is December.
Oh, I understand that, but it's also
15.
It wouldn't be back on the meeting.
It won't be back on the meeting.
Because it's an automatic fine.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Unless you're coming back, you're looking for a lien reduction.
Okay.
And we don't want to talk about that right now.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Kelly, just one clarification. That's to a maximum of $20,000. I don't think you announced that.
Yes, sir. The fine that will go into effect if you're not in compliance by December 2, 2015 will continue at $300 per day thereafter. to a maximum of $20,000 or whenever you come into compliance.
Exactly.
Whichever occurs first.
All right, thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 7, Tudja and Kaivo LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please? You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. Kelger, this is here for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. The inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and based on the minimal efforts of the respondent, the egregiousness of the overall property and its need for response in terms of work and need for compliance, egregiousness of the overall violation, the city again is requesting a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $25,000.
Okay, well, what has the respondent done and what hasn't the respondent done?
The inspector informs me that he just got a... in fact, I'll just ask Mr. Reckonzone to address you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Morning. Good morning, sir. Inspector Cliff Reckonzone, my credentials are on file. I got in contact with his contractor. He hired a contractor on Friday. They pulled the permits on Monday. The electrical permit failed inspection, and I contacted him and told Mr. Patel that he had to get the electrician back out there and get with the building permits to find out why it failed inspection. But he has a complete construction contractor that said that he can get all the work done by the end of before next hearing.
Our next cutoff is November 4, 2015.
Yes, sir.
Is he thinking it can be done by then?
Yes, sir.
And you're hearing this from the contractor?
I heard that from the contractor on Friday afternoon.
And can you give me some feel for how much of the work that has to be done has been done?
The contractor said
90%?
I would have to say about 75 to 80%
is done.
The contractor wants to go over all the work, and I explained to him that he had to go over everything and make sure that everything was properly done and correctly done. And he knew that once he pulled those permits, that it was his responsibility to make sure that everything was up to code.
And he's already applied for those permits?
And he applied for the permits on Monday, yesterday.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Patel?
Yes, sir. We are in compliance, so whatever inspector suggested, we hired the licensed contractor, and we are working with. We pull out already the electric permit, but they failed, but I am not a technician person, so whatever they say, we are complying, sir.
Well, what I'm hearing that I like is that you have a contractor. The contractor is going to go over everything that's been done to date. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing it's 75 to 80% done, mm-hmm. And I'm hearing that your contractor thinks the balance can be concluded by November 4, 2015. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for the moment at least, I'm satisfied with the efforts. So what I'll do is I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 4, 2015, mm-hmm. or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Let me impress upon you, the city's already thinking I should be fining you. Okay, well, I'm giving you more time because you've gotten a contractor and you're going to get it finished. But you don't want to find yourself back here facing another prospect of an imposition of a fine.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you. Case number 8, Precious Property Management, LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is he going to be speaking?
Yes.
And state your name for the record, please, both of you.
Elmo Angelo Bartolome.
Ben Butero, architect, Ormond Beach.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, I have this down for the determination of a compliance date, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Because we're here on an expired demolition permit.
Okay.
Sorry, is that not right?
That should be right. Continued to this meeting for determination of compliance date, and it was for the order that he maintained the fence.
I think that was, yeah, in reliance on this expectation of him working towards this new project, I believe, right?
Spahn's working on another project. I will need to go to a new permit or restore the property to the original state. Next cutoff date to obtain a new permit, that would have been pretty aggressive, or extend the project, or restore the property to the original status by finishing the restoration process. Mr. Bartolome asked again if he had to remove his sign. Okay. Stated that he has retained an architect to generate the site plan for the project, and he was hoping to reutilize the sign, parking spaces, and dumpster. And I griped about the fence. And here we are for the determination of the compliance date. So what's changed since the last time we were here? First off, tell me the fence is fixed.
The fence has been fixed.
Good.
And secondly, Mr. Butera has been working on our site plan.
Okay.
So he can talk to you about it.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We retained Harry Newkirk as civil engineer to take a look at the site, and he came up with a preliminary site plan, and we met staff, the city, for the site plan. I can show you these. And what had happened, apparently there have been some changes to the development code. And the staff had notified us that we have to have retention on the site now, which wasn't previously required. The owner is looking to question that modification, since it's we're going to dig a big hole in the middle of his parking lot to retain water, and for the last 50 years that hasn't been the case. So if we have to put a retention pond in there, it changes the design quite a bit, and we need a direction to go. Either the site needs retention or it does not need retention. And that's what's being questioned here. Wet retention. It hasn't been required before. And there was a, you know, there have been existing clients on that site. There was a restaurant there about 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago. And there's an overwhelming amount of parking on the site. We meet all the development requirements, but in meeting with staff, this new rule has thrown a monkey wrench into the design process.
Okay, what say the city?
Mr. Kelty, as far as the... Well, let me speak to the whole thing. The inspector informs me, the inspector is Tom Klig. He informs me that the his newest information is that this project is stalled and it doesn't seem like it's going forward. It's probably related to this issue regarding the retention. But is this the first he's heard specifically of an issue of them challenging or questioning or anything else? The issue of the retention, presumably that's the ruling that he's gotten from technical review, and that's where they stand. It's a project that appears not to be going forward. The position of staff is that they come into compliance and restore the property, and which includes the removal of the sign. The code requires that I know we've talked over and over about that, but the code does require that the sign is removed and that the property is restored to its original or approved state in the manner of post-demolition state that's required. So that's the status of the city.
What would be the post-demolition state that we would restore this property to? Would it look at anything at all like the useless wandering grass that seems to grow along the beach? Amidst the concrete rubble that's mixed in there? What would it look like, just out of curiosity?
One of the items would be that they want us to tear up all the existing parking.
I understand that. I want to know what the future looks like as far as the city's Daytona Beach.
The city's requesting that the site goes to restoration to original status, which means removal of the sign, removal of the dumpster pad, and the parking lot. So therefore, yes, it would be a grass lot.
It has a grass lot.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just don't know why they're insisting.
No, don't talk right okay. now. Let me talk to Mr. Butera for a second, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you were getting ready to tell me how all these elements are an important part of the redevelopment you're hoping will take place.
Well, certainly. The existing parking lot, the existing dumpster, the existing enclosure around the dumpster is something we want to keep.
Okay, who is Universal Kidney Center?
That's me.
That's you?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're planning on building this structure?
That is correct. That's why I have to take building it.
Yeah. We're the contractor to design it. We hired under our firm Harry Newkirk to be the civil engineer. He did this preliminary site plan. We met with staff. Staff looked at it and said, well, gosh, the rules have changed now, guys. You need to put in a retention for the site. And that's something we weren't aware of at the time. And right now it's being questioned because it's a great economic impact to the site, especially for future use, because the amount of property is 1.6 acres. In the future, there's an additional building being planned to put on the site, and with a retention, that plan goes away.
Well, let me ask you this question, and it's just idle curiosity. Would the removal and potential replacement of the sign and the removal and potential replacement of the parking lot and the removal and replacement of all the other facilities that are there now create an added expense which could prejudice the potential development?
Well, certainly. It creates an economic hardship for the developer.
Okay. Now, I want to know, before I go wearing egg on my face from now till eternity, how committed the respondent is to building something on this property.
That's a very good question. And I think that needs to be addressed since the project is moving slowly. Okay, we would like to get some more horsepower into the project, get a ruling on this retention or non-retention and move ahead with it, because it has dragged out about 6 months now. So that's an answer for our client.
Mr. Bartolome, how are we looking?
Well, we would like to move forward with the project, but with all these hiccups that we're getting from the city, it's making it impossible. And at the same time, I'm seeing a lot of negativity that they want to retain it to original stage all the time. Every time I talk to them, put the grass, take the parking lot out.
The only thing I'm interested in is whether you're really going to build a building there.
That's what I'm planning to do.
About building nice buildings that, like I say, are basically grass.
Well, that's basically what I'm planning to do, is to build a business there and open up a business there. But
right.
It's making
What's
it harder.
What is going to take place, and either one of you can answer this question for me, what is going to happen within the next 30 days to show me your good faith that you're actually moving forward with this project?
Well, first, probably we need some blessing from the city that we don't need this retention pond, otherwise it's going to hold project. So, I mean, why would I dig a big hole in the middle of our parking lot just to put water in?
Well, you're talking to the wrong person.
I know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, I can't tell you anything about that. All right, I'm going to continue this matter to our next meeting for another progress report. And at that time, depending on what I hear, I may go with the city or I may consider additional time. And I know you don't want to hear it, but if you have to coax and control the city to help you get to where you need to be, then do it. But one thing I don't want to hear, or one thing I won't accept, let me put it, is just vitriol between you and the city is the excuse for inactivity. I don't care about it. You either figure out the problems and show me that something concrete is getting ready to happen, or once I come to the conclusion that I'm just being strung along, then they're going to get whatever they want. Okay, but that's for another day. Right now, I'm just continuing this determination of the compliance date until next week. In the interim, the fence has to be maintained. The property has to be maintained. It can't be allowed to become any sort of a nuisance whatsoever. Okay? All right, gentlemen, good luck. Here's your plans.
Yeah.
All right, case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10 is in compliance. Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Barry Gorin Revocable Living Trust. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning. Can you state your name, please?
Barry Gorin.
Can you spell your last name for me? Can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. Can you just please speak into the microphone?
Okay.
So
what's your name again?
Patsy Dees. I'm the property manager.
You happen to have a son named Bobby Dees?
Yes.
About my age?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think we used to either play softball or football together. I'm not sure which. Okay. Mr. Gorin, you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I guess so.
All right. Then I'll find you in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. McCausland, they have a punch list.
They have a punch list of items need to be taken care of for them to obtain the rental license. The inspector informs me that they should be able to be into compliance by next cutoff.
So the violation notice of business tax receipts tend to the iceberg. What we have is various violations needs to
be taken
care
of. Yes, sir.
I don't have that in front of me. Does Mr. Gorin know what needs to be done?
Yes,
we do. It will be this list, y'all, for me.
Everything has been done, Your Honor, except for the carpet. And that was supposed to be put in yesterday, but this account is putting it in today.
So either way, then you should have no problem coming into compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by November 4, 2015. Will be returned to special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
What's the one-time $250 administrative fine?
I'm sorry. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the one-time $250. Is it a fine or a fee?
It's a
fine. I like the fee.
Okay. It starts with F. So nothing good starts with F.
That's if we don't comply, correct?
All right.
Yeah,
and please remember to contact the inspector to let him know when you're in compliance.
Yes.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 13, White Top of Florida, LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name.
Larry Smith.
Leslie Smith.
You raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, do we agree? Well, first off, what's y'all's affiliation with White Top of Florida LLC?
I'm the managing director of LLC, and he's the owner also.
Very good. It's you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I'm sorry, sir. Repeat that.
You agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take to come into compliance?
The inspector request is
cut off.
All right. The city suggests you might be able to take care of it by November 4th. What say the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And I will order the respondent to come into compliance by November 4, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank
Don't
you,
forget
sir.
To call for a final inspection once it's done. Case number 14, Ava M. Wright and Michael C. Wright. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Yes, my name is Michael Wright.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And just make sure to bring that microphone up a little bit so they can hear you. Thank you.
Mr. Wright, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance? Mr. Wright, the city seems to think you ought to be able to correct these matters by November 4, 2015. What say you to that?
Yes, sir.
You want to say something, now's the time to say it.
No, I just want to update my address.
Okay. And what's your new address?
1 Watercliff Lane, Ormond Beach, Florida, 32174.
I will order the respondent come into compliance by November 4, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Once again, don't forget to call the inspector to do a final inspection once you've done this stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. Good luck to you. Case number 15, Nivra Consulting and Investment Group, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Please say thank you.
I'm sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Mr. Harbin?
Mr. Harbin.
And Mr. Harbin, your affiliation with Nivra Consulting Investment Group?
Registered agent.
Okay. You have authority to speak on their behalf?
Yes.
Okay. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
At one point, yes.
Right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance? Mr. Harvey,
excuse me, real quick. What was the last thing you said?
I'm sorry, next couple. That's horrible, mate.
What he is saying is you ought to be able to take care of these matters by November 4, 2015. What say you to that?
As of this morning, I do have updated pictures in regards to this right here.
Okay, what are they going to show me?
They're going to show the grass cut, hedges cut, things removed, the trailer, as well as a different picture.
Understand. Well, this is going to make your day then. You've got till November 4, 2015 to make sure everything's in compliance. So with that, I order the respondent to come into compliance by November 4, 2015 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. As soon as you've got it done, call for your inspection, and that's the end. Don't forget the inspection.
No, okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That takes care of all the items on the agenda. Is there any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No. Nothing, sir.
All right. That being the case,